Hey, colleagues, welcome back to the office. It's Steve. Welcome to episode 27 of the CPE Today podcast. Today's podcast is going to be focusing on our discussion of disaster planning and business continuity planning. These are two really important conversations with respect to how and where we will prepare for disasters inside of our organization. Disaster can really kind of strike at any point, and it's important to kind of objectively think about what we would do in the event that a disaster does occur so that when it actually does happen, we're in a position being able to actually mediate this and be able to recover quickly and effectively and keep people safe and get our businesses back into operation. So in today's class, we are going to, in our third chapter of this podcast, look at essentially the planning guidelines of this. We're going to start with just a discussion of the different types of planning that you might want to use inside of your organization, including business continuity planning. We'll describe and define what that is, as well as disaster recovery. Although these topics are similar and interrelated to each other, they are distinct. Disaster recovery really kind of focusing on the first 24 to 72 hours, and business continuity really kind of focusing on the next year. We'll also discuss a little bit about preparedness, which again, interrelated, but a little bit different. And it's important to understand where these different items start and stop and the distinguishing characteristics of each one. We'll also talk about the major factors which could lead your organization to a disaster, things that you might want to consider, as well as some resources that you might want to look at to help identify what those factors might be. Additionally, I want to point you to our first episode of this series where we go in depth talking about all the different nasty, bad things that could occur. And that topic is covered in much more detail in that section. We're going to be spending a bulk of our time talking about some of the amazing and awesome and free resources available to you through the internet and through the federal government of the United States, as well as some of the other major industry players that are all kind of built around prevention of disasters. I'm going to show you the ready.gov website, which is a free service from the United States government. It is from the Office of FEMA, as well as Homeland Security, which is a wonderful resource to kind of learn essentially some of the specifics with disaster planning, as well as a number of resources provided directly from them, including PDF documents that can help you kind of outline the specific things that you're going to do for your disaster preparedness and business continuity planning, as well as the even have a full-blown Windows application that will allow you to create a super detailed plan, and it comes up with all the questions that you might want to ask and kind of think through with respect to your planning. We'll also take a look at an industry website, disastersafety.org. This was put together through the insurance industry, and it's specifically designed to kind of help an organization with its disaster planning, and also kind of brings in a little bit of the insurance industry as well in terms of how to mitigate risk with that type of coverage. So, and I'll also introduce another resource to you, which is the SANS Institute. For longtime CPE Today and K2 listeners, you'll know I'm a big fan of the SANS Institute and their security policy and guidelines. I'm going to show you where they are and some of the policies that you might want to consider for your organization. Their tools and their policies are a great way of being able to augment your organization's handbook, employee resources, vendor guidelines, terms of service, and more. And they even have some great stuff around business continuity that you might want to consider. Now, the ultimate goal of today's podcast is to talk about how you would develop and implement your own business continuity plan. And I'm hoping that we can provide enough resources for you that you'll be able to answer the big questions with respect to how you would do this and put it together. All right, before we get going, I do want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by CPE Today. And for listening to today's podcast, whether you're listening live on Facebook and YouTube or listening after the fact on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or others, or watching today's podcast for free on YouTube, Facebook, or on cpetoday.com, you can earn credits for watching or listening to today's podcast. It's super simple. Head on over to cpetoday.com and use course code DRB3 Take a short 5-question exam. You'll earn a credit for today's class. It's super simple, efficient, and you can get credits for doing something you're already doing, whether it be watching YouTube videos or listening to podcasts. We're putting out new content twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays, most weeks, and on a variety of accounting and technology topics. So please stay tuned. This is a great way to stay on top of your credits, and we'll hope you join us for future podcasts as well. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and dive in and let's just do a quick recap with respect to disaster recovery and business continuity. Let's just define those things real quick so we're all on the same page, and then we're going to dive into our business continuity planning guidelines. Okay, now we have two major topics that we should be familiar with. One is disaster recovery and the other one is business continuity. While interrelated, they are distinct and they do have different goals in mind. Disaster recovery is really going to focus on the immediate needs after a disaster occurs. So think of the floodwaters just starting to recede. You know, you've essentially put out the fire. The data breach has been contained. What do you do next? Well, that disaster recovery are going to be those steps and procedures that you're going to put in place that will ensure that your business can essentially open up operations safely for your employees, your staff, and your customers in the first 24 to 72 hours. It's really kind of focused on ensuring operations can resume in the event of an unplanned disaster. Now, your disaster recovery plan should focus primarily on preparedness, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. And it should focus on, for example, of keeping people safe. That should ultimately be your highest goal of any sort of recovery plan, is ensuring health and safety of people, and then property, plant, and equipment thereafter, and then resuming operations thereafter. Now, that's not a hard and fast rule. That's Steve's rule. You know, I tend to think human life is the most important, and everything kind of flows from that. But your disaster recovery is really kind of focused on that first 24 to 72 hours. Business continuity, on the other hand, focuses on long-term recovery. Often after a major disaster, there are going to be other survivability issues with respect to your organization that you need to consider. You're going to need to consider, like, the supply chain as an example. You know, I'm just thinking topically here, this is in May, when we're May in 2021, when we're doing the initial recording of this class. A good example of a disaster that occurred would be the Evergreen shipping container that crashed in the Suez Canal just about a month ago. Well, it's created this massive worldwide ripple in the supply chain because nothing could get through the Suez Canal for a period of a week. It's caused this massive backhaul and backlog of all these ships and ports all around the world that were since delayed. Well, that's a disaster in and of itself. It interrupts the supply chain. Raw materials can't get to the manufacturing plants. Finished goods can't get to consumers. You know, and if we think about seasonal purchases, you know, stuff for summer, stuff for winter. I mean, if you are delayed sometimes a week or two, well, that could make a huge impact on your business and organization. And in fact, we're seeing this big shipping crisis occur here all in the United States, as well as all over the world, with getting consumer goods to folks. So those are examples of business continuity risks and how you would essentially deal with it. Now, unfortunately, it might be something like air freight, or it might be finding other trade routes, or maybe choosing to produce domestically. But these business continuity are risks around the survivability of a disaster in the long term. It focuses on putting the correct policies, procedures, people, and teams in place to ensure that continuity of business. So when we think about disaster recovery and business continuity, they are interdependent on each other, but they are different. Disaster recovery, first 24 to 72 hours, keeping people safe, property, plant, and equipment safe. Business continuity, bigger picture, how do we stay in business, typically a year or longer. Now, disasters always enact a cost of some sort. It could be a direct cost. It could be an indirect cost. It could be a financial cost. It could be environmental or societal cost. Unfortunately, disasters are something that can hurt an organization. Now, here are some of the big picture things that you might want to consider when you're trying to determine the cost of a disaster. And I want you to quantify these as clearly and as succinctly as you possibly can as you're starting to do your disaster recovery plans and business continuity plans. You should think of revenue. You know, that's typically, we're accountants here, that's the first thing that pops into our head here. Direct financial loss, as well as, you know, depending on the nature of the disaster, like a data breach, there could be other things like fines and penalties and civil lawsuits that could also result in a financial loss to the company. So it's not always necessarily losing revenue, but then operational and kind of extraordinary costs that could be incurred, as well as things like future lost revenues because people choose to do something different. You should think of productivity. What does it mean to have an hour of downtime or a week of downtime? What does that mean to your organizations? As an example, I believe the ship was the Ever Given, now that I'm thinking about it. When the Ever Given crash occurred, it was something like $400 million a day in economic disruption to the world economy is what they estimated. And the company Evergreen, I believe, got hit with the Suez Canal Authority with a $900 million fine. I mean, obviously that could be a massive interruption of your revenue as well as fines and penalties, but also think about what that productivity cost of closing the entire canal and interrupting the supply chain between Asia and Europe might cost. What does it mean to have those ships just sitting there waiting to be offloaded or waiting to travel through the canal? That lost productivity can often be staggering. And in my opinion, payroll is often our most significant cost in this structure. You should think about safety. You know, are people in physical danger? Is this something that we need to kind of assume that, you know, depending on the particular risk, like a data breach might not present a physical harm. Certainly it could harm somebody's reputation or it could harm somebody's financial credit or things of this nature. But you should think through safety and what that could potentially mean in terms of people being in harm's way. You should think about things like our damaged reputation. Organizations that have experienced, for example, data breaches like Home Depot or Target or Equifax and many, 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 many others often will suffer for a period of time due to lack of faith by consumers. Competition can certainly gain ground. And, you know, you're going to get typically blasted in the press and on social media. What could that mean to your organization? Governance and performance. Increasingly, we are seeing more corporate governance take place around the world. We have massive security and privacy frameworks now. Like in Europe, we have GDPR, General Data Protection Regulations. In California, we have the California Consumer Privacy Act. And we're also starting to see these types of privacy acts enacted around the world. What does it mean essentially to violate these? And what could the fines and regulatory issues be presented because of that? And lastly, environmental. I would encourage you to strongly think about the environmental impact of the things that you do. Unfortunately, it's always an afterthought for a lot of organizations, but we have one world. We got to take care of it. And so depending on the nature of the disaster, something like an oil spill or deforestation can cause, or environmental contamination can cause massive issues, not only today, but in the future. So that is a little bit about disaster recovery and business continuity, as well as the cost of the disasters. Let's get into the meat of our course today, which is really kind of talking about this life cycle, as well as the planning of business continuity. Okay. Now, I'm going to encourage you to think of your business continuity plan as a life cycle. It's something that you don't really ever finish. It will continue to evolve and change as your business continues to evolve and change. Think about your organization in 2021. I mean, all of us are doing something completely different, or operating at least in a very different way than we were in 2019. And certainly, I think going forward in the next couple of years, we're going to continue to see these changes occur. So in the same way that business is changing, your business continuity plan must change as well. And so here are some of the main things I would recommend that you think about as you start to put together your plan. First and foremost, identify risks relevant to your organizations. Not every risk is going to be relevant to your organization. I'll use myself as an example here. Okay, my company, we're dispersed. We all work remote. We've always worked remote. However, I live in a forested area. I live in Big Bear Lake, California, beautiful mountain town up in the mountains of Southern California outside of Los Angeles. It's a great place to live. You know, some of the things that would be big risks to me would be, for example, a fire. A forest fire, unfortunately, is something that would be a massive problem. However, something like a hurricane or a flood Probably not so much. Maybe a burst pipe in the house, but I don't really necessarily need to worry about our lake here. I would love it if it would go up, but I don't necessarily need to worry about that. Other risks like a data breach or some sort of regulatory privacy, something that we do that essentially violates some sort of framework that we're working against, that would be something that would be relevant to me. So you want to pick realistic stuff based off of your current organization. And what you want to do is you want to take those risks and you want to analyze their importance and your impact across the organization. Some things are not a big deal, you know, and then you could deal accordingly. Some things are a huge deal. But you want to have appropriate escalation depending on the risk of the impact of that particular item. Then we want to design controls and we want to mitigate those. We want to put in different compensating controls that we can use to essentially bring risk to a more appropriate level. What does that sound like? What does that sound like a lot of? Well, that really kind of sounds like, again, like what we would hear in an audit in terms of the configuration that we would put in when we were to go and audit our books or a client's books. You know, we want to design internal controls essentially to bring risk to a more manageable topic and to a more manageable level. We then want to implement and execute those controls and policies, taking feedback into consideration and adjusting as needed so that if things need to change, great, we can go ahead and change them accordingly. And we want to ideally measure their impact and then start this whole cycle over again. So thinking about it in kind of a wheel, you know, we start with our business and we analyze our particular business. We're going to go ahead and develop different strategies to help reduce risk. We want to implement those strategies. We want to test and make sure that those things that we are doing in our business continuity plan are working as designed. Certainly do some particular maintenance to make those things consistent and work well. And then just start that whole process over again. It's a kind of a never ending cycle that you might want to consider with respect to how you would do your planning. And I would tell you that on average, your organization should be considering its business continuity plan annually. And sometimes, depending on what your needs are, maybe more frequently. Certainly, if major operational things occur, you know, like you completely move into a new line of business, you change the products and solutions that you're offering, key executives leave, you're going to want to revisit that BCP so that when you have a disaster occur, it's reflective of what is going on in that company today. A plan from 5 years ago that has a whole list of people that weren't there at the time the disaster occurs is practically useless. And remember, with a lot of these types of planning things, it's less about the outcome of the paper. Although the paper, the document is what you're trying to build here, it's more about having the conversation and it's about having the necessary components in place and just having the conversation and understanding essentially what could go wrong and then thinking objectively about what you could do to reduce that risk. Now, there are some main qualities of a BCP that you should consider. Okay, BCP, by the way, business continuity planning. So in a BCP document, there are some things that I would recommend that your document do and kind of have in place. Okay, so first and foremost, make sure it covers the depth and breadth of your business operations. You know, don't just focus on the stuff that you like doing, but kind of make sure that all aspects of the organization are covered. Generally, business owners like to focus on the stuff that is of interest to them. You know, if you're a restaurateur, you probably love talking food, but you probably don't like talking insurance. You probably like talking about your menus and all the specials that you're going to have, but you're probably not as interested in, you know, let's just say ensuring your point of sale system can work if the power goes out or something like that. Make sure that your plan covers all aspects of your operation, from accounting and insurance and payroll to raw materials, logistics and supply chain operations and everything else. Okay. You're going to want to ensure that, you know, if that disaster occurs, that you've figured out or at least thought about some of the major aspects of your operations that you would want to cover. I'd recommend it has some meat on its bones. Okay. It could be effective. I've seen a lot of plans over the years, for example, where, you know, for payroll, they might have like one sentence, you know, listed like call payroll company. Well, that's not good enough. What if the payroll company has a disaster themselves? If it's like a geological thing, well, you're going to want to consider that in terms of how you would want to mitigate that risk. Or if it's a supply chain thing, you know, and you're dependent on a single source of a supplier and they go out of business or they have a hurricane or they have a fire, you know, if you don't have an effective plan that has some meat on it and it can be effective, I mean, you're going to be scrambling trying to find a new supplier for that. And if you can't get raw materials, that could very well put you out of business. Make sure it's based on fact and has realistic operations and realistic expectations for your organizations. I've seen organizations, for example, do blue sky planning with respect to their BCP, and it's not based off of what they do currently. It's either really small or way too big. They're essentially banking on business that they have, you know, that they could have, or at a size and scale of their organization operating that they're not currently at. Base it on the number of people, the number of products, the number of clients that you currently have on your realistic operations. Make sure it can be implemented in a very timely manner. Remember, disaster planning focuses on the first 24 to 72 hours. If, for example, the power goes out and your backup plan says, well, we'll get a generator, well, that's too late at that point. You know, you and all of your friends in your community are going to be thinking the same thing. They're going to go down to your local hardware store, and guess what? Nobody is going to be able to get a generator because they will have been sold out already. So if something relies on being there by a certain time period, make sure that you take that into consideration with your plan and that you either got, for example, logistically figured out where you can source the things in a timely manner, as well as maybe doing some preventative planning and getting stuff that might take a longer lead time to get in place. A good example of this would be something like servers in a data center. You know, if I had a flood, for example, and a rack of equipment got destroyed due to water, well, I just can't go to Home Depot and buy another switch from Cisco or buy another server from HP. That stuff is made to order. Well, by the time I get it back into my business, that's too late because it could be weeks or months before we're able to come online. And by that point, my customers will have moved on. Make sure it can be implemented with your existing staff and resources. You know, if something requires specialty stuff, you know, specialty staff, specialty equipment, like a forklift or a special excavator, you know, to clear a road or something like that, well, that might not be a realistic thing for your business continuity plan. You probably would need to plan around it. And you would also want to ensure that in the event of a disaster, you can use the staff that you have and be able to recover reasonably with that staff. You're not going to have any time, for example, to go out and hire additional people. It's just not going to occur. People are going to be dealing with their own problems. You know, you'll be hopefully be able to get your own staff there, and that itself might not be a case. And be effective in realistic scenarios. As I mentioned, here in Big Bear, we want to plan, for example, for a fire. We want to plan, for example, for things like a data breach or a long-term power outage or, believe it or not, even a snowstorm. But I don't need to plan for stuff that isn't realistic, and I want to plan for things that are going to be a good, highly effective use of my time. All right, folks, let's go ahead and have our first review question for the day. What are some of the important features to consider for your organization's business continuity plan? Okay, should it be based on fact and reflective of current operations? You betcha it should be. Can it be implemented with current staff and resources? That is what you want. Prioritizes timeliness and can be implemented quickly. Yes, absolutely. The correct answer here is all of the above. Those are going to be the things that you're going to want to consider as you start to build out your organization's plan. Okay, so that's a little bit on the high-end level of business continuity planning, some of the things that you're going to consider. Now, I've got three fabulous resources I want to share with you. We're going to do a little bit of PowerPoint and then a little bit of screen sharing here, and I'll walk you through what some of these resources are. And we'll take a look at some of the best aspects of each of these web resources. I will point out they're all free. They're all widely available. They are in some instances based primarily in the United States, but they can certainly operate worldwide. Some of the terminology, for example, might be US specific, but I trust you'll be able to take the intention and the ideas from this and then apply it to wherever your local geography might be. Now, my favorite website with respect to understanding, learning, and preparing for disasters is the website ready.gov. Okay. This is a free service put together by the FEMA agency, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, as well as the Department of Homeland Security here in the U.S. And we'll take a look at their website here in a minute, but it is super comprehensive with respect to understanding all different types of disasters, what could occur, why they would occur, different planning techniques, different resources for help mitigating the risk. Everything from man-made disasters to acts of God are going to be covered in here. Okay? They have super comprehensive planning guides that are great for addressing a wide range of different disasters, from your pandemics to cyber incidences and really kind of everything in between. And the website focuses on what to do before, what to do during, how to keep yourself safe, as well as how to mitigate those risks before that disaster occurs, and if it does occur, what you can do to help remedy the situation after an incident. It has fabulous resources on educational and training topics, preparation steps, as well as resources to assist you. It also has stuff like emergency planning documents. It has business continuity documents for a wide range of incidents. And it is a really, really kind of cool website that I will frequently take a look at just to kind of get a sense of what I should be thinking about for my organization. Let's go ahead and take a look at this right now. And you can just open up your favorite internet browser and head on over to ready.gov. Okay, so this is ready.gov, a official website of the United States government, and very simple in terms of being able to navigate. They usually, for example, have the topical thing, you know, right now in early summer, unfortunately, we're heading into wildfire season. So they've got, for example, in the main section of their site, the crisis of the day, in this case, is preparing for wildfires. They've got resources around a wide range of things, pandemics, severe weather, hurricanes, tornadoes, so on and so forth. Let's go ahead and take a look at a couple of these. If we come up here to the top, disasters and emergencies, we can start to see there are a number of disasters that they will address from, for example, and unfortunately, it's terrible that we have to think about this, things such as attacks in public places, bioterrorism, things of this that are certainly acts of man that we might want to think of, to acts of God, things like avalanches or drought or earthquakes, so on and so forth. There's a ton of them, space weather even, you know, it's, you would want to kind of get a sense and review these. And I think from the man-made stuff, or I'm sorry, the acts of God stuff, I think you could probably figure out the stuff that would be of most importance and higher likelihood for you. Let's go ahead and check out floods. I think that's a pretty easy one to address. So we can come onto this particular website here, and on this page, we could see that they have what to do to prepare for a flood, what to do during a flood, what to do after flood, as well as any associated content for it. Okay. So it'll give us some information, essentially what a flood is. I think we all know, you know, how it could potentially develop. Okay. And then we've, for example, got some what to do if you are under a flood warning. So find safety, shelter, don't walk or swim, don't drown. I think that's a pretty good one. And, you know, what to do essentially to prepare for this. So here's some of the risks of flood. They, for example, will provide additional resources, whether it be FEMA's Flood Map Service Center, which is a pretty cool website that gives maps here in the United States identifying where floods could occur, the Emergency Alert System, the NOAA website. They've got resources for other things you might want to do, like, for example, purchasing flood insurance. Okay. There is the National Flood Insurance Program, which is a government program which will provide insurance even in the event that you can't get private insurance for a particular flood area. Okay. And then coming down here, what to do staying safe during a particular flood. And then how to stay safe after a flood occurs. Stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think about, like mold, you know, unfortunately, when in the aftermath of, you know, whether it be Hurricane Harvey or Sandy or Katrina, you know, there's always these homes and buildings that are destroyed physically, but then they're also become full of mud, mold and other potential debris that could cause issues. It'll warn you, for example, people with asthma, stay away, you know, and they've got some other associated content listed here. And it's updated pretty regularly. I mean, This is May 2021, so we can see this was updated as recently as last month. Now, if we come on up here back, we can look at the other disasters. They've got other really interesting ones that I would not have expected them to cover. For example, cybersecurity. You know, things like identity theft, as well as for your business, what that cyber attack might be and what that could potentially cause. So how to protect yourself. Guess what? It's going to be use good passwords, use two-factor authentication. And guess what? Don't click on links that you shouldn't click on. Those are pretty much your best recommendations. And if you're interested more on how to prevent a cybersecurity attack occurring to you, check out other podcasts in this series, as well as our data breach and identity theft series too. We've done a couple episodes on that, and we go into cybersecurity in depth. Now, up top here, they've also got make a plan. Okay. So they've got plans. Now, this is going to be on the individual side of this to kind of help you build a preparedness plan for yourself. They've got it, for example, over here, make a kit. You know, it's a really good resource list that you could consider going through to pull together the resources necessary to have like a backpack full of emergency supplies that you might need to have. You know, stuff like how much water to have, how much food, you know, for example, having a radio so you can get emergency news, a first aid kit, important medications. They even have this PDF that you can just download that will have a great checklist of stuff that you might want to consider. So that is a little bit on the personal side of what you can expect with ready.gov. Now, what I also love over here is Ready Business. Ready Business is like ready.gov, but for organizations. And it's got a number of really fabulous, really well thought out, comprehensive documents and planning that you, your organization, whether you are a retail organization, a restaurant, a software company, a school, a small government, can think through for planning for the different types of disasters that might occur. And the Ready Business stuff has all different resources that can essentially help you do all of this. And in my opinion, it's the most comprehensive service and tool out there. And so one of the things that they offer with this is they've got a number of plans that are available depending on the specific risk that your organization might face. You know, for example, they've got their emergency response plan, they've got their communications plan, they've got their business continuity plan, as well as a business continuity suite. We're going to take a look at those in a moment. IT disasters, as well as a number of really great training resources that you can put inside of your organization. They've got the documentation, they've got reading materials, they've even got videos that you can kind of teach your staff all the things that they're going to necessarily need to know for, you know, being prepared for a disaster that might occur. Now, we are going to take a look at several of these resources provided here in a minute, but let's go ahead and first kind of talk about their business continuity planning documents, which I think are the basis of the suite of tools that are out here. Okay, so they have a business continuity plan document. And really, to get started with this, this is going to guide your organization through all the big decision making as it relates to kind of getting your planning together. The questions you're going to want to ask, as well as the specific risks that you're going to face that relate to your specific organization. Now, the first part of this is a business impact analysis. More on that here in a minute. This is to essentially identify the economic, the societal, the risks, and the different factors that might come to you. Okay. And so you're going to identify those particular items and then ultimately fold those items into a planning document where you look at those specific risks and then you build mitigating controls around those risks to bring those risks to a more appropriate level. And it could be, for example, you know, having a secondary work location or letting your staff work from home, all the way up to how do you ensure a secondary supply chain in the event a port is shut down or something like that. You're then going to conduct training exercises on this business continuity plan, and they provide a number of great training exercises as well to teach your staff and then test your staff, assess them, and then giving them exercises to kind of think through and practice what they have learned. Okay. And that is available for free on their particular website. And so all we have to do is just go to that business continuity plan. And from here, we can start to learn and kind of go through some of the major steps of this. Okay. So they will have a whole bunch of different components of this that you could start to go through. You know, whether they be, for example, building your communication strategy, building your disaster recovery plan, putting together, for example, a toolkit to help your organizations work and be effective. But it's really kind of going to all start here with this business continuity impact analysis, understanding the different impact of your organization. And so check out this business continuity plan. We're going to come back to that here in a minute, but let's go ahead and talk through this next bit of this, which would be our impact identification and analysis. Okay. So the first step with respect to building your business continuity plan is to identify the operational and financial risks and impacts that could come from some sort of disruption of business and functions. Okay, there's a number of things that you should be thinking about. Some of them are going to be economic, some of them are going to be safety related, some of them are going to be, who knows? You know, there's a lot of different things. Now, here are just some examples, and your organization is going to know the big risks for itself, but certainly some sort of economic impact like lost sales and income. It might not necessarily be lost. It might be delayed. A good example of this is I like to think of, especially here's in accounting, especially those of you in tax preparation, you know, think about, for example, you know, you have a major software interruption. Your hosting provider for your tax software has an interruption that delays your ability to be able to file tax returns. Well, you can't file the tax return. That means you can't collect on that income. Well, it might not be lost, but it could be delayed for a period of time. And again, that can cause major problems. And in fact, if you wait too long, often, you know, your employees will feel bad for you for a period of time. And they'll say, hey, Steve, we'll work it out. We'll be back next week, next month. But you know what? Eventually, they're going to get it filed. And if you still continue to have that issue, it just might not be with you. So we need to think through timing. Timing can be really important for this. Increased expenses, okay? Overtime, labor, additional shipping. You know, I mentioned the example before with the problems that we're having with shipping right now worldwide, not only here in the US, but all over the world. Well, you know, if your options are not being able to fulfill an order or incurring additional shipping costs, well, you're probably going to just eat the shipping costs. And right now, a lot of folks to get stuff from overseas are using air freight, which is often 4 to 5 times more expensive than putting something in a container and floating it across the ocean. So thinking through those, we could have things like regulatory fines for data breaches, things like GDPR, or the California Consumer Protection Act, and more. They got some teeth, you know, they can be really expensive. So we need to take that into account. Or even things like HIPAA, violating patient privacy, lots of impacts to an individual or to an organization that violate the terms of those regulations. You could have contractual penalties or loss of contractual bonuses. I'm reminded of organizations that are in large building and construction, you know, where if you don't do your part of the project, you can get fined for not completing it on time because it pushes everything back. I had a client who was in construction. They had a delay of a material piece, and it ended up getting this fine of like $1,000 a day until they could fulfill their part of the contract, because when they were delayed, it pushed all the other contractors who needed to do their part of the project back correspondingly. Certainly things like customer dissatisfaction or defects in the products can cause problems, and it could also delay your ability to start whatever new business plan that you might have and you might be considering with respect to your organization. Okay, so these are some of the things that you're going to want to think about as you start to think through your business planning in identifying the different risks unique to your organization. Now, Ready.gov has probably the best tool out there, and they've got two components. They've got their business continuity planning suite and their disaster recovery generator. Now, these are free tools that were developed, again, by Ready.gov, FEMA, and Homeland Security to kind of help guide organizations and businesses through writing their BCP and DRP plans. They've got a ton of functionality similar to what you would see with an automated tax preparation tool, in the sense that you can download this component. We'll take a look at it here in a minute. You fill out some questionnaires, and it will prepare the documents for you. And the BCP generator will build a plan that guides a company through any type of disruption to its normal operation. And the disaster recovery generator focuses on developing a plan specific to recover information technology systems. You can check these things out by coming over here to BCP Suite. We're going to take a look at that website here in a moment. Now, the Business Continuity Suite is a installable Windows application. It is a thick client application. So you download this to your computer. It's a massive tool. It's not massive in terms of software size, but just massive in terms of capability that you can walk through and you can identify the specific things that are of use or importance to your organization. Okay. And if you don't want to download their Windows tool, one of the other things that you can download is that you can download their planning documents in PDF format. As an example here, this is their business continuity resource requirement worksheet. Okay. This is a worksheet and checklist to help you determine the specific resource requirements needed for a disaster. It can help you figure out whether you've got sufficient resources or a potential critical deficiency in some sort of area. This particular document is available for free, and it's just a PDF that you can download. The takeaway from this is that Ready.gov has a number of resources that you can use in whatever format you choose to use them on. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a look at their business continuity planning suite, and just to kind of get a sense of what you can do. So from the Ready.gov website, come on up here to the header under Ready Business. You are going to go ahead and see the business continuity plan, which is what we took a look at already. And then they've also got this business continuity planning suite. Okay. They got a nice little video here you can watch to kind of talk about what the suite does. And what you're ultimately going to end up doing, though, is downloading a copy of this tool. Okay. And this is going to download a file to your computer. You're going to install this computer on your particular computer. And then ultimately, when you load it up, it will be a installed Windows application that you can use to build your business continuity plan. And this stays on your computer, so that what's nice about this is that you can just continuously come back to it as needed. So we're going to go ahead and click this start now. Okay. Now, if we have a plan like I do right here, I can go ahead and select CP today. I'm going to go ahead and put in my password for this particular plan. And there we go. It's going to go ahead and open this up. Okay. Now, the whole thing is a kind of choose your own adventure, you know, so I can go ahead and put in my company name. We're going to go ahead and put in CPE today. Okay. And we're going to go ahead and put in a date. So let's just go ahead and put in the end of the month. Okay. And then we're going to go ahead and click forward. Now, we can start to go and do versions of this if we want. We can go ahead and go through a whole, like, if our organization has some sort of disaster planning committee, we can, for example, version this document. We can talk about all the different necessary components of the document and all the governance pieces of this document we might want. For example, we could put in a confidentiality statement. We can put in a footer. Okay. We can put in the list of people who it should be distributed to. And then ultimately, it's going to take us into the actual planning itself. So here's where we would put in a summary of our plan content, you know, and it'll give you some recommendations like, hey, keep it to a page, you know, or more. And as we kind of work through this document, we can also mark it as being complete, and it'll mark it off in our checklist, which I'll show you here in a moment. So there are lots of individual sections of this that you would want to think through. Over here, for example, is the program policy. Okay. So for documentation purposes, they refer you back to their website, you know, start to think about this, and it's going to pose some questions for you to think about. Remember, this is as much about a journey as it is a destination. So how does your business define continuity? What is the people involved responsible for this? How are you going to execute this? Okay. Here are some of your planning assumptions. What are your objectives? What are your risk assessments? And this is where it starts to get kind of interesting as you start to identify. And it's going to recommend that you, for example, will build in assuming your different risks, as well as things like how often it could occur, the probability, the business impact, and how much of a control you can have on it. It's going to recommend that you do things like a business impact analysis. Now, if we click up here to Sitemap, you can start to see there are a ton of resources that you can consider putting in here. For example, like emergency operations centers, where that might be and who might be a part of that. An organizational chart that might be effective for emergencies, but not, you know, what you would use as your normal organization chart for your company. Okay, they've got critical business information. Your call list is an example. Who are you going to call in your executive list and who's responsible in the order for those people to be contacted? Okay, the critical equipment list, software list, telecommunication, vendors. Likewise, you put these different things in here. Now, once you kind of put it all together and you've identified all the major components, you don't have to do every single bit of this. Some of these things may or may not be important to you, and you may or may not want to do them. You just can print this particular document, and it will then be something that you can put into binder and to distribute through your company. It will essentially assemble this for you, and you can make any other modifications you might need, but you've got a nice completed document that you can point to that will essentially show you your business continuity plan. And so we didn't fill out a lot here, so there's not really kind of much to see. But what I do want you to take away from is just how clean and nice this actual document is. And writing this kind of with no idea or kind of framework of ever putting one of these things together before can be a huge headache and issue. So this isn't perfect, but it is a great start. And you might want to choose to extract pieces of this that can be useful for your specific organization. So that is just a little about that business continuity suite, and it is a really cool tool. So whether you choose, for example, to use the suite, which is definitely going to be the most comprehensive, or you choose just to use the PDF extracts from their website, again, the ready.gov website is going to be your one-stop shop for a lot of really good tools. And with that, let's go ahead and have our next review question. What is your one-stop shop for robust, amazing, and free resources for business continuity planning? Is it whitehouse.gov? No, it is not. Is it data.gov? No, it is not. Although, amazing website on its own. If it is the federal government's portal for open source data. And if you're a data guy like me, you can find some really cool stuff on there to do different types of analytics and analysis, but not your planning site. Is it irs.gov? No, it is not. What is it? It is, in fact, ready.gov. Now, outside of ready.gov, there are two other websites that I would recommend you check out. One is going to be disastersafety.org. Disastersafety.org came from the insurance industry, and it's part of their Open for Business initiative, which kind of gives a toolkit to help a business build its own disaster and recovery plan. Like ready.gov, it focuses on things from severe weather to things like pandemics and virus outbreaks and everything in between. And they've got a great free toolkit that's designed to help small businesses of any size kind of identify the different risks. And I would say what's really nice about this particular one is that it's a little bit more approachable than what you would get with the business continuity plan from the federal government. The business continuity plan from the federal government's amazing, but truthfully, it could be a lot for, you know, a smaller organization. You know, if your organization is used to, for example, big planning, big documents, I mean, that's going to fit in well, but, you know, for the rest of us, it might not be much, you know, it might be a little bit too much for us to bite off. So I find this one, disastersafety.org, to be a little bit more approachable, and their tools, I think, are probably a little bit more appropriate for small and medium-sized business. Now, they've got their checklists that are going to kind of help you identify their greatest threats to your business, the essential business activities to maintain your operations, different ways of evaluating and managing organizational risks, as well as that recovery plan to kind of build your organization's resilience. Let's go ahead and take a look at their website. So this is disastersafety.org. And like ready.gov, they've got all their major disasters kind of listed up top here. And if you kind of roll through their website, you can learn about the different disasters that you might want to consider for your organizations. And they've also got a number of really kind of cool resources that you can kind of go through as well. And let me just go ahead and see if I can find their planning guidelines. Let's go ahead and choose this. Let's choose this one. There we go. Okay. So over here on the right-hand side, you'll see disaster planning. And if you come on in through here, you can read a little bit more about their toolkit. And they've also got this master checklist. So the master checklist, very simply, is just kind of a really easy checklist that you can go through and kind of ask yourself these questions, you know, that might be applicable to you, you know, for example, your employees, your vendors, you know, your equipment that you're going to want to just, again, ask yourself to see if it's, you know, something you need to worry about. Now, if we come on over here to their entire toolkit, you can download the PDF of this, or you could download each module. The entire toolkit is going to have the whole planning document. It's a big old book. You could print, or you could just choose to use an Acrobat if you want. And it will, as you start to work through this document, you'll see over here, for example, identification of the risks. You know, what are your risks? Is it technology, water safety, key staff? You could put in the probability, you know, in terms of what you're wanting. And again, it's a, in my opinion, a little bit more approachable way of kind of doing your disaster planning. Both of these are fabulous resources that you might want to consider. All righty. So, now, I would also kind of encourage you to kind of also think about a third type of policy. So you have your disaster recovery, you have your business continuity, and the third one would be some sort of preparedness policy. Now, these all might sound similar. Again, a lot of them are. They're interrelated with each other, but they do have their own distinct characteristics. A really good one is this preparedness policy, and it's really kind of having the focus on being prepared, the proactive stuff that you could do to essentially limit your risk and exposure for a disaster or a business continuity plan. You know, it's going to be, for example, really kind of address primarily safety of employees, property, plant, and equipment. It's going to include stuff like maintaining your customer service by minimizing interruptions, protecting your facilities, preventing entire environmental contamination, and then kind of more broadly, you know, things like your organizational brand image and reputation. Now, this is something you should probably just have a conversation and think through. And, you know, like with business continuity and disaster recovery, it's a life cycle that you kind of think through, you plan around, you kind of identify those particular risks, and then ultimately implement some sort of plan, take some feedback, and then adjust as needed. But that disastersafety.gov has a number of really good preparedness that you could choose for the specific risks, like a fire or a flood, that might apply to your organization. Now, one last resource I want to draw your attention to is the SANS Institute. Okay, the SANS Institute is one of my longtime resources that I use in so many different ways. And their organization is a research and training organization that focuses primarily on cybersecurity and risk management. Now, they have some of the best resources out there, from events, conferences, seminars, webinars, and more. And they also have a number of really good free resources you can consider for your organization to help mitigate your risk and exposure with respect to cyber risks. And increasingly, cyber risks are a bigger and bigger issue for a lot of organizations because there's not really a company or industry today that's not using technology in a very meaningful way. So a risk of a data breach is, or a hard drive corruption or something like that, is as much of a risk to your organization existentially as like a fire or a flood. But the good news is a lot of these cybersecurity risks can be mitigated a lot easier than their acts of God counterparts. Let me go ahead and show you their website here. So you can check it out. It's sans.org. Okay. And if you come down right up at the top on the right-hand side, you'll see this free resources listed here. And if we click this free resources, it's going to take us to their listing of different information security things that you can choose to kind of review and read and learn. And they've got a number of really kind of cool stuff from their webcasts, some of which are free, their white papers. But the thing I really like right here is this security policy templates. Okay, if we go ahead and we click this, they have probably close to 100 or so different policies that we could choose to put in place inside of our organization that could be a great way of augmenting our employee handbook, our terms of service, our privacy policy for our organization, and others. One such might be, for example, the data breach response policy. And the way this works is that you can find the policies that are most applicable to your organization. And then you could download the PDF or you could download the Word file. And let's just go ahead and download the PDF. The Word file looks the exact same. Okay. And these are licensed in such a way that you can totally use them inside your organization. No worries. Okay. So the first part of this would be the purpose. The purpose of this policy is to establish the goals and vision for a response process, outline who it applies to and under what circumstances. And the whole document is kind of like a find and replace. So where it says organization's name, you put in your organization's name. Likewise, employee name or domain or things of this nature. Now, if you come down here, this is where it starts to define essentially what a data breach would be, you know, and who it would particularly apply to, you know, and how you might, for example, work with things like a forensic investigator, how you might want to communicate, who has responsibilities for this, how it would be enforced, so on and so forth. But again, where a lot of organizations struggle is just kind of really understanding what to do and how to put it in place. It's so much easier, for example, to have some sort of framework that you can then build out to meet the specific needs of your company. All right, let's go ahead and finish with our last section, which is just a brief one, but it's a question that usually gets asked is what the heck about insurance? You know, giant business plan, business continuity insurance, business interruption insurance, data breach insurance, you know, what is it and why should I consider it? Well, insurance is fabulous, but the only mechanism for resolution is money. That's the first thing to think about. It's not going to make, you know, it's not going to bring somebody back if they were killed. It's not going to bring somebody and make them whole if they were injured. It's not going to cause your data not to be breached. It's not going to cause something not to have been stolen. The only lever that insurance has to pull is financial remuneration. So that's important to remember. Okay. And it doesn't help you address the problem you're facing today. You know, it's something that you can apply for and it'll help you address the problem for tomorrow. And typically, again, it would be some sort of compensation that would come back. You know, if it's, for example, floodwaters, well, it's not like the, you know, despite what you might see with the Good Neighbor commercials or farmers or other things like that, I mean, they're not going to come and put sandbags in front of your operation to stop the floodwaters. You know, it's not going to help you today. It's going to help you tomorrow. Biggest recommendation I could ever tell you about insurance is read your policy. It's incredible what's included and not included. You know, they'll have stuff like water damage is included, but not wind damage. Well, that can make a big impact on whether or not you're covered for something like a hurricane or a tornado. Now, with some sort of business interruption, it typically has to be purchased with part of a larger business policy. And it's something that you're definitely going to want to work with a business carrier for. There's lots of different types of business insurance you can consider, from business continuity, errors and omissions, professional liability, and more. For our organization, we have an errors and omissions policy. If we screw up making something for a client, or if something that we did causes a data breach, it's important that we have coverage for those events. Those are important to us. And so we get coverage for the risks that we feel are appropriate. And it's part of our business continuity plan, but it could take weeks, months, and sometimes years to get compensated and worked out. You should consider it, but do not think of this as being your end all be all. Do not put all your eggs in this basket. You might get paid out, but you could lose your business in the process, and it can also take years to resolve it. So what is it good for? Well, you know, your business interruption insurance covers things like lost profits, you know, what could have been earned. It can help compensate for fixed costs, you know, what would have been incurred or keeping things going. It could cover things like moving to a temporary locations, like, you know, if you need a hot site to roll over because you're building, you know, burn to the ground. It can help you, for example, acquire a new temporary location while your existing building is being rebuilt. It can help with things like commissions and training. You know, if you need to bring other people online because other people are no longer able to work. It can cover other extra stuff, but again, it's really going to be dependent on the policy that you might need to read to find the specific things that it would cover or not cover. Insurance is great. I tend to be very risk adverse. So our organization, we have these types of policies. They're expensive. I can tell you that insurance is one of our largest expenses, but knowing that we have some backup is really important, that if a disaster would occur, that we would not be wiped out. And I also feel that from our client's perspective, it shows our commitment to excellence and our commitment to be able to do things the right way. We are not required, and most of you will not be required in most instances, to have professional insurance. But I think that speaks to the professionalism of a company when it's willing to incur hard dollars to limit risk to its potential operations and its clients. Alrighty, let's go ahead and have our final review question. Which of the following is not a feature of a business continuity or interruption insurance? Okay, so what is not a feature? Okay, it's inexpensive and easy to acquire. Definitely not the case. It's usually pretty expensive and they're going to do a lot of due diligence. My dad always likes to say that insurance companies are in the business of collecting premiums, not paying out claims. So if you have any sort of extraordinary risk, they typically won't even give you the policy to begin with. They won't underwrite it. In the event of a disaster, carriers are quick to reimburse. Absolutely not. They're pretty slow. And from my experience, they typically try to find a way to disclaim liability and deny coverage before they'll be willing to pay. It can be purchased after the fact. Absolutely not. You have to have this ahead of time and they will definitely check. So the correct answer here would be it's a great option of last resort. It would not be something you want to put all your eggs in one basket, but it should be part of your overall business continuity planning. Okay, so let's go ahead and summarize. What did we learn today? Well, today we discussed the major components and features of a business continuity planning document, as well as the risk assessment and more. We reviewed lots of different options with respect to how business continuity planning documents work. We looked at resources from Ready.gov, Disaster Safety, the SANS Institute, and more. And we also talked about what insurance might be for your organization. Now, if you are a financial professional, and I hope you are, I do want to remind you that you can earn credits for watching or listening to today's podcast. It is super simple. All you have to do after listening or watching, head on over to cpetoday.com and use course code DRB3. Take a short 5-question exam and you will earn a credit for listening to today's podcast. How cool is that? It is super fast, super efficient, and a great way to stay on top of your credits. So if you'd like to earn a credit for today, get a nice certificate, go ahead and head on over to cpetoday.com and use course code DRB3. Now, if you liked our content and you enjoy our classes, we do put out content regularly. We try to put out a new class twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 o'clock Pacific, live on Facebook and YouTube. However, you can follow us on social media and listen to our podcast on demand. On most social media, you can find us at cpetoday.com. We would love it if you consider following us, leaving a review or writing a comment. We're always looking for new classes and topics to teach on, so any and all feedback would be welcome and appreciated. You can also listen on demand on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you happen to get your content. As always, it is an absolute pleasure being with you here today. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and I'll see you back in the office soon.